You're listening to the OT's Gone Rogue podcast, episode number 39. You're listening to the OT's Gone Rogue podcast, where we inspire therapists to think outside the box and do things differently. I'm your host, Melissa LaPointe. My passion is in helping OT entrepreneurs have a bigger impact on the world while building a life they love and doing transformative work that lights them up. On each episode of the show, I'm going to share tools and tricks to help you flex your entrepreneurial muscles and grow your business from the inside out. I want to see more OTs step up as visionary leaders, change makers, and influential CEOs. So let's get started. Hey everyone. Oh my goodness, the last couple of weeks have been lovely. Since we started publishing our podcast episodes again, I've had so many of you reach out to me and share your excitement that we're back. Thank you. I'm excited to be back as well. We're getting back into the swing of things and it feels awesome. So today we're kicking things off with a special guest episode where the focus is on all things coaching. And for any of you therapists out there that are also coaches, whether you're business coaches, life coaches, leadership coaches, birth coaches, health coaches, parent coaches, money coaches, whatever the niche, I want you to stay tuned right until the end because I have a fun little announcement to make. And for those of you who have thought about coaching, but you're still in the contemplation stage, figuring out next steps, or maybe you've tried to do some coaching, but you're not sure how to find the right clients, this announcement applies to you as well. So again, stick around or at the very least, check out my show notes. Now, before I officially kick off this episode, I want to give you some context to my relationship with today's guest, Mr. James Wedmore. James is a well-known digital CEO and influencer in the online space. I signed up for his signature program, Business by Design, in 2019 after being in the online space as a course creator and coach for 3 years and really spinning my wheels. In 2020, I signed up for his next level group coaching program and was a member of that for almost 2.5 years. In the last 4 years, I've grown up a lot as an entrepreneur, a business consultant, and a coach, and I can contribute a number of my successes to the work that I've done with James. I've also served as a guide for a number of therapists who've gone through his Business by Design program, and I'm going to be honest, it's not the right fit for everyone. Some people hit the ground running and resonate with his teachings and coaching community. Other people feel overwhelmed and have a hard time applying what they're learning to the way they want to work with their clients. So if you have any questions about how I support therapists to go through Business by Design, or if you want to talk more about my experience with James and his programs, I'm going to encourage you to reach out to me directly and I'm happy to chat. As for today's episode, it is obvious that James is a wealth of knowledge on many, many areas of online business, including content creation, marketing, digital leadership, and coaching. This is a longer episode where we do a deep dive on several of these topics and more. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I'm confident in saying there will be a number of aha moments for our listeners. So without further ado, let's roll out my interview with James Wedmore. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the OT's Gone Rogue podcast. Today, we are pulling back the curtain and doing a deeper dive into the coaching industry. And who better to have on as my guest expert than James Wedmore? So James, welcome back to the podcast.
I'm back. Thanks for having me. I must have done something right, huh?
You made the cut. Your team was bugging me and bugging me to have... No.
Please, Melissa.
What can we do? Oh, always a pleasure to have you. James, my audience, you've been on the podcast before. A lot of my audience already knows, you know, I've shared about how I'm connected to you and the work that I've done in terms of your programs. I want to use today to hone in a little bit more on coaching because it's definitely something that a lot of my audience members, as occupational therapists, we were often, you know, termed the original life coach. It's something that we've been trained to do, but now we're seeing this huge movement in the online space in terms of the coaching industry. And you know, there are a lot of questions. How do I get started? What do I need? And how do I differentiate myself from a lot of people in the coaching industry? Mm-hmm. Like there's that scarcity mindset that sneaks in as well. You know, I have more training and I have my healthcare background and how do I differentiate myself? But they're still getting stuck. So can we start by how did you get started as a coach?
Completely accidentally.
I love it. So you didn't go through a formal training. You didn't have all these certifications. Like, tell us a little bit more about your story and how coaching has been part of your digital CEO journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and just to catch people up to speed, who you're listening from, and it's not to like brag or anything at all. It's just like, you know, it's the same thing you kind of touched upon is like, you gotta be careful who you listen to because of what type of experience they have from the perspective they're offering. But I've been doing this for 15 years and we built an 8-figure business around my products and my coaching. And I never set out to be a coach. Like I didn't even really understand what that was or what that meant. I love teaching. And that's who I've always seen myself as first. So I created my first product back in 2007. Or had the idea for it. It took like 6 months and then I released it in 2008. And then when I started doing those products and teaching that, I was kind of flabbergasted, to use a fun word, because it didn't really matter how, because I was like really obsessed with teaching, like how, and I still today, I mean, I was just talking about this with one of my coaches that, by the way, that's a nice context too, is I have a team of over 40 coaches that work with me. So I was flabbergasted because even to this day, I'm obsessed about how to communicate something effectively. Like I want people to get it. I want to teach something in a way that's just like, wow, that is the most like, I've never heard it that simple before. I understand now. It's clear. And no matter what kind of emphasis I was putting on that, I found so much, no matter what, people were still confused. Still couldn't do it. Even today in Business by Design, I watch, and I just do it with more awareness today. We can give someone a step-by-step thing, just like a Lego instruction manual. And if you gave, because my nephew is 6 and he can do Legos now. And I'll watch him step-by-step do the Legos. Not a problem. You give an adult a Lego instruction manual for their business and you will watch them skip. Nah, I'm not going to do it that way. Ah, I'm going to skip this step. I'll do it like this instead. That doesn't sound right. I'll do it more like this. Little kids don't do that, but the big parents do, the adults do, and then they screw it up and they wonder why it doesn't work. And it's like, what is going on? And I started noticing that a long time ago. And then I was finding out more sets. People aren't finishing courses. They're stopping. They're starting and stopping. They're just getting stuck. They're getting overwhelmed. They're getting confused and bam, and like no results. While I was observing that, I was also in my own journey of growth. And I got really early on in my entrepreneurial journey, which is the number one reason why I love working with entrepreneurs today, is because I believe most of them get this, is to the degree in which you grow is the degree in which your business grows. And I tell my clients over and over again is that we grow in our business to the level of problems and challenges that we can handle. And so in 15 years, I can say like so with so much conviction, so much certainty, that I am where I am today because of the coaching that I got on myself, that my personal growth, my evolution, my gainings, my learnings, and bam, that reflected in the business and always does. And so I was noticing both of these and I was noticing that people weren't getting that. And I was, but I was going to other places to get it. And, you know, coaching is a big word and it can mean so many things. I have my definition and how I look at it and stuff, but I just started applying to them and offering to them the same coaching the conversations that were happening in my own mind. And a lot of it is just great questions. I was asking myself better questions. And I believe that today that's one like discerning factor that can just make a great coach is your ability to ask a better question than your client has been asking. Why does this always happen to me? What's wrong with me? Why am I stuck? You know, all these why questions. And I come in there and say, have you ever considered this? Or what if you did that? And just asking those questions open up, you know, quality of your life is determined by the quality of questions you ask. And I started doing that little by little. And then I started putting it into my programs themselves and then spending more time with people. And the funny thing, the last thing I'll say here is at the end of the day, I struggled in online business for a really long time. So the things that your listeners and your clients are going through, I'm stuck here, I'm indecisive here, I'm procrastinating there. As I did, I went through all that. And I was so stubborn and determined to get past that I found ways to coach myself out of it. And so the gift today is that when I'm working with a client, I'm working with my own lived experience. Like they bring their situation and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when I went through that, and I can work them through that because it's like, I've navigated that myself. I've been there. I can offer what I know and what my personal experience is to them. And so little by little, I started bringing that into my stuff and it grew. And today it's like 90% coaching. It really is. The coaching is the difference that makes the difference. 100%.
What are your thoughts on, so we have a number of people who are coaching related to where they haven't necessarily had the experience, or perhaps they've had the personal experience, but they haven't had the training to coach other people. So I'm thinking, for example, you know, we have people in terms of health coaching, like, oh, I lost all the baby weight and got in amazing shape and got 6-pack abs. Therefore, I can now coach other postpartum women to go through that. Mm-hmm. Or I've built my business to 6 figures. Therefore, I can coach other business owners where they don't necessarily have the training or the experience. You know, they have the personal experience, but they don't have the experience coaching. Do you see that as a challenge, or do you see that as an opportunity?
For the person that is saying that?
Yeah. Like how, you know, there's a gap there. And do you see that as one of the challenges in the coaching industry where, you know, anyone can be a coach now?
Yeah, of course. Anyone can be a coach. And let me just take a whole completely different spin. Everyone should be a coach. I mean, we don't exist in a silo. You know, I love that thing. No man or woman is an island. And I look at so much of the interconnectedness of relationships and people in our lives and how we all support each other. And so we should all be coaches, you know? Yes, I understand the concern that we'll kind of get into of like making a promise, you know, kind of that it's the Dunning-Kruger effect, right? Whereas the whole phenomenon, the studied phenomenon of the Dunning-Kruger effect is that the people that know the least tend to have the most hubris or confidence because they don't know what they don't know, versus the more you learn about something, the more you realize there still is so much to learn that you end up having this like too much humility that it kind of bleeds into insecurity or a lack yes. of confidence. And so then those are the ones that are looking at seeing someone else.
And I'm just going to interject, listeners, you know where you are on that. my overly qualified, oh, you know, so many letters behind their name, so many certifications, and there's still some of them frozen in analysis paralysis because they're not sure if they're ready to coach. So I had to interject because you know who you are.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is like, I think that there's a lot of, I can just share from my own experience. I can share my opinions and I've never gotten any like official, you know, training or degrees. I think I ended up taking an NLP class like 2 years ago, but it wasn't ever my promise. Okay. So what my personal experience was, like, we'll start with my like first online business was I was working for clients and I was a film major, right? So I learned all this stuff about video and I was loving making videos and combined that with the internet and it was YouTube. And so I started working with clients and that's where it started, was building their YouTube channels. And one particular client, oh my goodness, like he had a 0 to 6-figure business in the first like 90 days and just like was crushing it. And it was all because of the YouTube channel. We built it up to multiple millions of views. And then one day I said, I'm going to teach this to others. And it was because I was going to events and people were like trying to do these kind of marketing events. And I would sit there and help them. And I asked the $1 million question to the person. I just helped them like sit, upload a YouTube video and like, here, add this on the description. Here, put your link in here. And what about your annotations? And they look at me with this like, you're a magician. And I asked like a really simple, but $1 million question. I said, really, you thought that was valuable? Because we don't value what comes easily to us. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was so surprised. I was like, really? That's like, that was so easy for me. Would you have paid for that? And she's like, yes, are you kidding? So I started asking other people and I was getting this validation. I said, well, I can teach this. So again, it was starting with the teacher. And so I launched a program in 2011 called Video Traffic Academy. And it was teaching people how to make YouTube videos and how to put them on the internet. And so it was a teaching. And this is why I'm going with this is that there's in everything that I've always done, coaching has been the difference that makes the difference. But in everything I've always done, I've always led with, here's the plan that I'm going to teach you. And when we're doing something one to many, I always recommend that. I work with a lot of transformational coaches, you know, therapists, all that, you know, who have brought one-on-one clients in and transformed the entire trajectory of their life. And unfortunately, although you have all this experience, all this, I'm just going to say experience with clients, with results, with everything. And you're probably in a place where like, well, I mean, I help them with everything. They come in for this one thing and I help them with all these different things. The big hurdle that you have in front of you is the game is very, very different when you go from one-to-one to one-to-many on the internet. And when we are, I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying like, it makes your business a lot harder. When you're trying to be this like one-to-many everything for them, like I help human beings on the planet transform their lives in every area. Like it doesn't work. It's very, very challenging and hard to do because marketing is a skill that you need to learn. And therapists or anyone who's had like a brick or mortar, you know, one-on-one practice or anything of that nature didn't have to put nearly the level of emphasis on marketing that you will have to now put in yourself into this role and position in this type of business. Marketing becomes your number one job, actually. And guess what? There's something called the curse of coaching. I call it the curse of coaching because when you get into this world of one of many, and this is going to sound kind of like a bummer, like this is like bad news at first. Normally I would, you know, share this more when I'm already working with my clients, like, hey, I got bad news for you, but I want to be as like transparent and clear as possible that when you become a great coach and you get into this world of one to many, where you're creating a program, a group program, whatever. If you use your coaching skills to do your sales and marketing, it's not going to end well for most people. And I can give example after example, and we could expand on that all the time. But the short version is that marketing becomes like the number one skill and priority if we want to get sales. And so when we're doing this, like transform your life or heal all your childhood wounds and all that stuff, that's not what people are looking for, believe it or not. When people are in a problem, you're dealing with the cause. They don't know what the cause is. They know.
Yes. That's such a common piece of the puzzle for therapists because so much of our training is around seeing those, you know, pattern recognition and going to the root cause. Occupational therapist.
Coach does. That's a coach. Yeah. A
claim to fame, right? Boy, we see that root cause and we can have such an impact on their quality of life across the board. So keep going with that.
Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about, right? So the example I have is if you have a headache, let's say you come to me and you have a headache. And if I'm being the coach in my marketing, I would come to you and I would say, are you struggling with dehydration? You're like, no, my head is killing me. My head is throbbing. I feel like there's a jackhammer going on in my brain. Well, maybe it is dehydration, but I asked you, I used my coaching. I got to the root cause. Are you struggling with dehydration? No, I'm struggling with my freaking headache. So I teach my students a very simple phrase that the role that you fill in your business determines the results that you receive. And to me, in my opinion, and again, I'm very contrarian in a way, and people don't like what I have to say because it conflicts with a lot of your model of the world. But if you're a therapist and you're going, I want to create a digital product, I want to create something on the internet that's scalable, it's not a thing that you're creating. It's an entirely different business. And it's not to scare people away because it's an extremely lucrative, profitable, rewarding, fulfilling business. Digital products are hands down, that this model is hands down the most profitable and fulfilling business model on the internet. Show me something else where you can like create it once and for like a decade, because I've been doing just business by design for 7 years now, continue to have thousands and thousands and thousands of people go through it and pay you for it and get results without fixed costs, you know, without having an inventory, without having to have upfront capital. You can't do it. And you guys listening are so ripe for this. And this is what people need is someone who's trained in the expertise. The problem is you guys suck at marketing. And I say that with love, but I the more I got better at coaching, I saw that I was almost using my coaching to do my marketing instead of my marketing to do my marketing and my coaching to do my delivery. So there is this very strong delineation, a line between what happens before the sale and what happens after the sale. And if the role you fill determines the results that you receive, the role you fill in your business determines the results that you receive. What role are you filling when you're marketing? What role? Because like the moment you have this business, you have all these different roles, right? So what role are you in when you're marketing, when you're selling? Are you being the coach already? You're talking about the cause. You're getting down to things that they that like, that sounds cool, but I have no idea what she's talking about, right? Or are we doing our marketing dance and we have our marketing hat on, and then the moment that the sale happens, we have to switch the hat and we have to go into the coach role. And that's going to be the big challenge and hurdle. It's a wonderful hurdle. It's only a hurdle in your mind, because some of us are so wrapped up in our identity that this is all I can be, that it's hard to separate coaching from marketing. But when you are, when you can do both, sky is the limit, because what you have right now in this industry is vast. And I know this is going to resonate with your listeners who are watching closely, is you have just people that are really great marketers and not great coaches. So what happens when you have a great coach that's also a great marketer? And that changes everything. So if we're going to do, going back to what I was saying, I know I opened that loop, and don't worry, I'll tie it all up in a little bow. When I look at my program, like my first YouTube program or any program I've created since, and what I teach my students is, if you're going to do the one to many, the more specific the promise, the easier your marketing is going to be for you. And the coach wants to resist that. No, but I can do so many things. And once I get healed this, we can do all these other things at the same time. But you're not doing the same thing. It's not even a different product. It's not like, that's why I said, like, we're not just adding something to our arsenal. No, it's a completely different way. If you want this to work, if you just want it to sit on your, you know, website and collecting dust, have at it. But if you actually want this to sell and people to join, the specificity, the plan, the step-by-step, is a required aspect. And so the way I've always done it myself is, whatever I'm offering is like, here's this specific plan. Here's this thing we're going to do. And then the coaching is what gets you through the plan. And so what we're seeing is people that just do like this big coaching promise, that's this nebulous, intangible transformation, very intangible. I mean, we do a training on Nail Your Niche every single year, and we help people who are just breaking into the market. Like, what's my first offer? What should it be about? And so many of them, they struggle with this. They say these very nebulous, intangible adjectives and words that I know what they mean and I know what you mean, but you have to worry, is a complete stranger who actually needs your stuff going to know what you mean? And if they don't, that's a real problem. So they say things like, you know, I help ambitious women heal their inner demons and break through to new levels of life so they can live a more authentic, genuine life. That doesn't really mean anything. You know what I mean? It's like, that means so much that it means nothing. And we got it's just really harder, a lot harder to market and sell that. Whereas instead, if you just pick something, right? And you're like, you know, I help you recreate or reinvigorate the love and intimacy in your marriage. Well, now we're getting a little bit more specific. Oh no, but I do all these other things. I understand that. But if you're doing all these other things, then you stick to one-on-one. Because even when you're working one-on-one with a client, you're only working on one thing at a time with your one-on-one client. But you don't have that luxury when you're doing in a group. Everyone needs to be there for one reason, not all of the reasons. Because then you'll have to see, you're still doing one-on-one. Everyone else, stay quiet. I'm just going to talk to her. Okay, now we're going to talk about relationships. Okay, now we're going to talk about what's going on in your relationship with your body. Now we're going to talk about with, you know, finances and your money stories and your childhood trauma. You know, and it's like, you stop while I talk to them. And it really doesn't work that way. So the more specific we can get with something, the better. And of course, that's really hard for people because they're like, I can do so much. I don't want to put myself in a box. It's like, well, we never should put yourself in a box because you're unlimited potential. We're going to put one offer in a box. And guess how many offers you can have? As many as you freaking want. But these are things that people don't want to hear. But at the same time, this is what just, it's not that it just works. It's that it makes it easier. it's really hard for all the same people. And this is why, you know, the coaching industry does seem very saturated. It does seem like there's all these people doing the same thing because they're all making the same freaking mistake. And I'm trying to give people here, like, hey, if you're listening, let me show you the right way to do it. That like 99% of people aren't doing that. They're all calling themselves life coaches and mindset coaches. And then they wonder why there's so many of them. But if you watch, there's so many of them, but they keep, you know, falling like flies because they can't get clients. They're not getting clients and they can't stay in business. And it's because they haven't learned great marketing.
And I think that's a good point. You know, I wanted to circle back on that earlier when you had mentioned everyone should be a coach. You know, that's an objection or that's a limiting belief for a lot of people. Oh, should I offer coaching? The coaching industry is saturated. There are already so many people who are doing coaching. What can I offer? How can I fit in? How can I cut in through the noise? And you've addressed that in so many ways, you know, cutting through the noise by getting more specific, cutting through the noise by getting clear on your messaging, cutting through the noise by niching down and not using these generic big promises that don't address people's problems or pain points.
So you asked that question. So should I offer coaching? Well, no. Yes, I said everyone should be a coach. I think you should be a coach. Like you should self-coach yourself every day. I think to the friends and peers who ask for it, you know, I always say like, do you want some coaching on this? I never interject. And to just any person's life that you can touch, you should be a coach. But do you offer coaching? And this is going to come back to what I was really just saying. No, never. What you offer is the transformation that they want. And then we can deliver coaching to help them get there. But that's part of the problem is that people are trying to sell coaching. No one wants coaching. They don't want your coaching. They want what the coaching will give them. Mm-hmm. If I could offer you $100,000 a month business or coaching, but you could only have one, which one would you choose? If you were smart, you would take the $100,000 a month. Do you want $100K mm-hmm. a month business that's just on autopilot? Or do you want some coaching from me? But you can only have one. They want the end result. So the coaching is a means to an end and it's irrelevant. Because all that matters is the end, the transformation, the outcome. What do I want? And so that's when a great marketer starts, or that's when a marketer starts becoming great, is when what they're offering and selling is what the outcome becomes available for them. Speaking to the transformation instead of speaking to the process. And far too many people are just trying to sell the process. And it's like, that's great. So I'm just going to spend more of my day chatting on the phone with you. But in the back of their mind, they're already saying, what's in it for me? What's this going to do for me? What's this give me? And if you're not speaking to that, then you're not going to be selling it. Does that make sense? I wanted to make sure that was clear.
It makes total sense. And I think that's really going to resonate. So a lot of therapists who may or may not be offering coaching programs, coaching packages, coaching services in any capacity, that's still, you know, you talk about the curse of the coach, and I say it's the curse of the OT, because we were, you know, so much of our training was around promoting occupational therapy as a whole. Every university program has run a contest in some capacity where the challenge was to educate the public on occupational therapy as a profession. And, you know, across the board, we don't appreciate OT and we don't understand OT. And I see a lot of therapists trying to bring their marketing back to educating the world on what OT is as a whole. And that's the real estate of their, you know, website is this is what OT can do, and not talking about the transformation. And not getting into the specifics in terms of what it is that they're offering. And it's a huge marketing problem. You know, it's where a lot of people are hitting that dead end. And it's tough to see because I take a lot of time getting to know what's happening, getting to know them. And they have amazing gifts and so many resources and, you know, that they've put into their education and their experience and their skill set and the transformation. But
no one taught them marketing. No one taught
exactly. Them marketing. They're, you know, we talk about so often in my programs, like you'd have to take off. You're not a therapist. You are a business owner. And one of your revenue streams may be related to your therapy hat, but you have to take that therapy hat off and now put on the marketing hat. Yeah. And now put on, you know, don't price yourself as a therapist. Get that therapist hat off. You're not in that role right now. We have to be the business owner. We have to be And it is a shift. And for a lot of people, especially in the beginning, you know, they're more the chameleon. They don't make that intentional shift. It's like, oh, but I'm still a therapist. It's like, yeah, wait a minute. You got to check that at the door. Or,
Well, there's a great line in a paragraph, a section from Michael Gerber's E-Myth Revisited. And he's going through this dialogue of sharing exactly what you're saying to someone who's, I think they're starting like a baking business.
Yes. Yes. It's exactly what they were doing.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I just want to bake. I don't want to do all this business stuff. And that might be someone listening saying that. It's like, then go work for someone else.
That's okay, right?
And it is, of course it's okay. Of course it's okay. But what's not okay is stepping out onto a basketball court and saying, I'm going to play soccer. That's the problem. You're taking the rules of one game and applying them to a whole nother game. And that's just where that's going to be impossible. You're not going to win a game of basketball playing soccer. Can't happen. And so you can't win your own game of business when you're playing the game of being an employee. Can't happen. And then if ego gets involved with like, I'm just so good, they should just come to me, which I hear that all the time. That's just pride. That's just ego. That's not how it works. I would never do that. Well, I'm just so amazing because I can produce so many results for my students. At this point, I shouldn't have to market or sell myself. They should just know. Well, that's just what? You know, no, we have to be a business owner, and the business owner, the buck stops with you, which means you are responsible for leads and sales. You're responsible for the marketing. You're responsible for getting people through the door. And if someone is just a therapist or just a coach or just a baker, they don't think about those things. They say that must be someone else's job. Because if I just get really good at what I do, you know, it's like a Field of Dreams. If I build it, they will come, right? Well, in the movie they came, but they were ghosts and that was Hollywood. This is real life and this is business. And for a long time, that's what I was doing. If I built it, they will come. And I realized that 90% of what we do is on the marketing side.
Mm. Let's unpackage that marketing piece a little bit more. What advice would you give, or some different ways that we can approach this where, but what do I call myself? Because I do all the different things and I understand what James and Melissa are saying, and I need to niche down and I need to get clear on one offer, but am I a leadership coach? Am I a mindset coach? Am I a women's health coach? Am I, you know, what's the title? What do I call myself? Because I need something to put on my business card or to put on my website. What words of wisdom can we share with those people who are getting stuck on that title?
I would say use the title that was given to you at birth on your birth certificate, which is your name. That's what I would call myself. That's what I do call myself. And the reason why is this is because there's a few reasons. Number one, no one cares what you call yourself. It's irrelevant. So you have to kind of ask yourself, what need is this fulfilling that I create a title for me? What does matter is people need to know in 5 seconds or less what you can do for them. And I have never had a title. I've never called myself a title. I will introduce myself and say, hey, how's it going, James? But like, let's talk about my YouTube days, just to give an example, because this is like OG, like 20, I did this like 2010, 2011 through like 2016, right? And I was like, became the number one YouTube marketing guy. Like if people were like, who's the guy you go to for market YouTube stuff? They'd say this James Wedmore kid. And funny story, I was getting a haircut at my local barber. Right. And he's finishing with me. My barber's name was Chris. And his next client comes in, sits down, and Chris goes, oh, hey, like, and he just introduces us. I want you to meet James. And he didn't really know what I did. So he's like a videographer. He makes videos, right? Isn't that what you do, James? And I'm just like, sure. And the guy goes, this is so funny. He goes, no way. Are you kidding me? He's like, I'm learning how to make videos right now. And so I said, well, how are you learning? He goes, on YouTube. And he pulls up on his phone one of my videos. Like, yeah, that's me. And what's so interesting about that is he completely like shifted. Like he was like, he saw a celebrity, right? What? Oh my gosh. I've watched all your videos. Right. And, this is very funny. So it was a little side story. So I would always introduce myself as James Wedmore here, you know, I'm known as the number one YouTube, you know, marketing coach or whatever. Or I would say, I'm James Wedmore and I help online businesses drive more traffic to the website using the power of online video, YouTube, and video SEO. So I was always very quick to say what I do. But if you have a name for yourself, like, ooh, I'm going to call myself this. I love that. Great. I'm not saying don't have a name. I'm saying don't lose sleep over it. Don't let this insignificant detail, irrelevant detail, slow you down from helping people, period. So then the other thing I'm concerned about is all these people are doing that. Mindset coach, life coach, whatever coach, boobity-doo-boo-doo coach. And so what you're running yourself into is bracketing yourself into those categories. So you're allowing people to bracket you. And so then you just become a commodity. Oh, you're like with all those other people. Big mistake. Oh, you're like all these other people. Oh, you're another manifestation coach. Oh, you're another blank coach. And they just bracket you into a category of the 100 other people that have the same title. So why would you do that? The reality is that the way the brain is wired, you know, because the brain consumes more calories than any other organ in the body, right? And we're always like lazy thinking because we're trying to conserve calories. So one of the things that we do is, and I always work from laws, principles. Okay. A principle is an unwavering truth. And there are principles to business, marketing, and sales, influence, communication. And one of them is called the law of preeminence. And the law of preeminence is based around this whole idea that in an effort to conserve energy, instead of us having to do all the heavy thinking, all that critical thinking, our brain will scan, sift and sort and look for the expert. Boom. She knows what she's talking about. I'll just have her tell me what to think, what to say, what to do. So consider for a moment, yeah, you in your mind go, well, I have the degrees, I have the experience, and da 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 da. Okay, great. But what are you doing to actually convey and communicate that? That is a skill in itself, to be able to convey authority and expertise without coming out and saying, I have degrees and I'm amazing and you just need to listen to me because I know what I'm talking about. That actually goes to the opposite end, which is what I call authority hubris, which is, well, just because I have a mic, you should listen to me. Just because I have a mic right now and I'm talking into a mic doesn't mean you should listen to me. I want to let you know I've been doing this for 15 years. I've, you know, made a lot of money doing it, but I've also helped a lot of people. And it would be really hard to be faking it for 15 years and still be around if you didn't know what you're talking about. But I'm not just going to come out and say, hey, just believe everything I say on faith and don't question, right? Which is what some people do too. And so that authority piece is so huge. And if someone is bracketing you as just another life coach, just another blank coach or whatever, then you've immediately left their mind as the perceived expert or authority that you are, which means they don't buy from you, which is why all these people are broke. So look, I know one of those questions then is it saturated, right? It's saturated with garbage. Yes. Okay. But here's the thing. There's two things I want to say about this. Saturation, market saturation is a byproduct or an insinuation of lack. When you're saying that, you presuppose that there's not enough room for someone else like you. So you're coming from lack. And from a spiritual context, because I take a spiritual context for my life, and it's gotten me this far. From a spiritual context, lack is an illusion. Lack does not exist when we go beyond just a 3D experience. Lack doesn't exist. In other words, lack is a fabrication of the ego, of the 3D, of the Tanal. So that means saturation is an illusion. And so what you're really seeing, and this is a powerful reframe for people, and it's going to bring it full circle to what we've just been talking about this whole time. You're not seeing markets saturation. What you're seeing is something called market sophistication. Now, market sophistication has to do with the level of which the market awareness is at. It's not like IQ sophistication. It's like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Oh yeah, I'm another life coach. Oh yes, I've heard this promise 20 times. That's market sophistication. How hip and savvy are they to the market? And when you see a million other life coaches out there and you've been training yourself to say, oh, that's saturation. There's no room for me. I can't do it because there's all these 22-year-old life coaches or whatever out there, no judgment, but that's not saturation. That's what you're experiencing is market sophistication. And all that means is that to play the game, you have to match or elevate above the level of sophistication that the market has, which means we can't have the bad marketing. We can't have the wishy-washy, intangible, broad, general, confusing promises and all that stuff. And that's the opportunity. Mm-hmm. You don't think my market's, quote unquote, to use the words of most people, saturated? You think I'm the only one doing this? You think it's like the wild, wild west? Oh my gosh, there's like a million people doing what I do. Do you think that holds me back? Do you think that stops me? No. Why? Because I just keep focusing on the message I have to say, the message I have to share in my way. And I'm constantly looking at ways to elevate it, to clarify it, to make it more powerful, more succinct, more simple, more helpful, more attention getting, more engaging, and more leading edge. I'm always, see, there's a difference between a market leader and a market follower. And most people are market followers. They're a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And you know what happens to the end result when you make a copy times 10. And instead, what I'm always looking to do is saying, where is the market going? And how can I get ahead of that? How can I move things forward? How can I evolve the marketplace, grow the marketplace, push past what everyone already knows or thinks they know into more of the unknown and bring people with me? That's a market leader. And if you're just, again, looking at yourself as a coach or a therapist, these things never cross your mind, but you are so much more. And we have to look at ourselves as this is what we chunk into as the digital CEO. The digital CEO is the visionary of the business. You have to be a leader to your marketplace. You have to be a leader to your customers. You have to be a leader to your team. And leaders are those that can see something out in the future that no one else could see. And they live from that future in such a way that because of that conviction, that certainty, that ability to hold on to something that can be so like fragile and delicate, they make it so. So are you being a leader or are we just trying to do what everyone else is doing so we can make a quick buck? That just doesn't happen. That's the whole ironic cosmic joke, is that get rich quick stuff is the slowest way to make money. This doesn't work.
Well, and to take that, so I want to take this one step further in that I see in my industry, I see amongst therapists, because a lot of our training is on recognizing, identifying red flags. When is someone appropriate for coaching? When is someone not appropriate for coaching? When we should be referring out, but also our own stuff, you know, how we work on our own boundaries and our own projection. But what I see happening is that we are also getting triggered by what's going on in the coaching industry, meaning instead of putting our energy, our efforts into what we need to do to be that marketing leader, we are getting triggered by other people who we feel should not be in the position that they're in or should not be doing what they're doing. Or I saw a post around, how do I stand out that I'm not just another poorly trained coach? So it's putting their energy into what other people are doing with their businesses, where it's like, oh, as a health professional, I see some red flags with that situation and I don't think they should be doing that. But that's still their energy, right? That's their energy, their focus going into what others are doing. What I'm hearing you say is to be a market leader, you didn't spend hours and hours and hours analyzing all the different people who were doing things who you didn't deem as the best way to do it. That wasn't where your energy was going to get into the position you're in. Is that what I'm hearing, James?
I think so. What I want to add here, and then you tell me if that answers your question, is if we look at, okay, if we superimpose that common theme of like, how do I stand out and not be like a poorly trained coach? Well, the same, you know, like analogy can apply to me as if I'm a business, you know, teaching business and marketing. There's a lot of people that don't know business and marketing teaching business and marketing. I'll let you know for a millisecond, have I wasted my personal power or my energy trying to whack-a-mole people? Yes. On the internet.
Yeah.
And people look through life through, it's an overly simplistic thing, but I really like this as a metaphor, through one of two frames, outcome frame or problem frame. And that's looking through the problem frame. If we're like, how do I, you know, not be like these people? Are you playing to win or are you playing not to lose? How do I not be like these people? What are you focusing on? These people. So I don't do that. I know those people are out there in my space. I know those people are out there. All I do is focus on how can I be better? How can I make my stuff the best? And I'm not focusing on differentiation. That's really interesting because how do I differentiate is still an energy of reactivity. How do I be different? No. How do you just be the best version of yourself comes from such a centered, neutral power. How do I be the best version of myself? How do I tap into my greatness and communicate it and deliver it in such a way that people say that this person is amazing? And you stay in your lane and you have your blinders on and you let those people take care of themselves or let the universe take care of them. Because I'll tell you this right now, like it's not even belief, it's knowing. Things like karma and universal laws are in effect. And if someone is lying, manipulating, saying they can do things that they can't, that will get handled on their own. You don't now need to go be karma police for people. What a waste of your energy. Instead of going and helping the people that need the help, now you're trying to hurt someone that is on their own journey and has to learn their own lessons. That's not your job.
I love that.
It's not your purpose. You didn't come here to do that. You came here to show people how it's actually done, not to punish those that aren't doing it right. And I want to say this because in my space is very, and by my, you know, my industry, people teaching marketing, social media, all that stuff. It's very toxic. I mean, it's all about money and popularity. Gross. I've had both of those things. They're wonderful, but they're also like, you know, products of the ego that you're never satiated from. So it's never enough. So you're just constantly driven to the fact of like you erode all your morals and ethics and standards and everything just to get more of this thing that you crave, right? And people will do anything to do that. So what I see is a lot of people that will then say, okay, it's almost like it's still a game of scarcity. The people that make the money are the people on top. And it's like a king of the hill or queen of the hill game. And so to get on top, I have to take someone down. I have to rip someone down so I can go up. And that's what kind of I'm almost hearing from that could be happening from some people. And I just want to say, only as not as a like, oh, applaud me. No, I say it because like I want you to learn from things that I've done right. You can also learn from the mistakes I've made too. But this is something I'm very proud of. And I'm proud that it's true. But never in my entire career, not once, have I ever used marketing to badmouth anyone, hurt anyone, bash anyone, take someone down in any way. I don't believe in that energy. I believe that will just come back to you tenfold. And it's nonsense. If the only way you can be successful is by trying to make other people unsuccessful, is it really a successful strategy? No. So are we going to focus on the problem frame or the outcome frame?
And raising the vibration, you know, in terms of what we can be doing in our profession, what we can be doing to facilitate that transformation and move forward. I think there's so much value.
And I'm just going to go back to this. So marketing is going to solve all of these things that people are you know, your listeners may be concerned with. Marketing will solve all of this. Mm-hmm. You don't want, but James, I don't want people out there going with these bad coaching. Great. When you're a better marketer, more people will come to you and not them. Marketing solves everything. It's so important. It's the right kind of marketing. You know, I know people have like it's a loaded word for some and they have their opinions and it's like sleazy. No, people are sleazy. Marketing isn't sleazy. People can be sleazy. And marketing is a tool. You use it the right way and sky's the limit. Use it the wrong way, it's going to take you down. But it's just a tool. People can use it poorly or, you know, for really good. So marketing means you do a podcast, right? Let's say this is marketing. Okay. We do a pre-podcast. And then Melissa could sit there and say, I got to get this out everywhere I can. I'm going to send out emails to my list with little clips teasing it. I'm going to put this on YouTube. I'm going to put this all over Instagram. I'm going to make little TikTok videos. This is marketing. It's just getting the things that we have to the market and being more intentional about it. Marketing isn't lying and manipulating, stealing. It's no, it's grabbing a megaphone and saying, let me get this out to you so you can hear this loud and clear. And are you doing that? And then she could say, now I'm going to throw some Facebook ad traffic onto it. And now I'm going to transcribe it and put it on as a blog post. Now I'm going to start reaching out to people that I've been talking to in my community and individually say, hey, you need to listen. I was thinking about you when we recorded this episode and I want you to listen to it. That's marketing. And are we doing that? You know what I mean? And why not? So I'm not someone who's ever been like, oh, I want to be the best and I want to have everyone know me and all that stuff. But instead, it's coming from a place of like, wow, when I share something that I know is going to help people, how do I get in front of as many people as humanly possible? And that's marketing. Mm.
Such a big piece to the coaching transformation that we are able to provide and the way that we are able to work with people. So I'm happy. We did a much deeper dive into marketing than I had anticipated. But isn't that the irony?
More about coaching? You want to talk about coaching? Yeah. I love talking about coaching.
Can we go a little bit deeper? Oh my gosh. All right. So one of the pieces while I have you here, because you've played such a key piece to the puzzle for me, is in terms of pricing. So pricing and packaging, that's again, as therapists, so much of our background, our history is based on the hourly model. In part, now people, I have all kinds of resources I can send you on this, why we need to get away from that. But it's based on, in part, the insurance model. And it's based on, but I see people then crunching numbers to try to come up with their coaching package, their offer that includes coaching, that includes different pieces based on hourly. And you have flipped that completely on its head for me in the past few years. And I'm so appreciative. What words of wisdom or what can we share with people who are getting stuck on, okay, I know I need to market and I know I need to do this, but what do I charge?
Yeah. What do I charge and what are people willing to pay for? Right.
When I hear that, I cringe now. So you've taught me well with that one.
No, I'm like, what are people willing to pay for this? The answer is always as little as humanly possible. So here's the thing. Remember earlier I said, you can't play soccer on a basketball court. It's just two different games. And then what I was referring to is the employee mindset versus the business owner mindset. This is the same thing. This is the consumer mindset versus the digital CEO mindset. So are you picking your prices from a consumer mindset? Let's be honest. Even though maybe you've been a therapist a long time, you've been a consumer even longer. Most of us have had more time logged and experience logged as a consumer than a business owner. So we are making our pricing decisions from the perspective of the consumer. And there is a phenomenal book for people to dive in that will completely reframe and transform. Cause like we could do a whole episode. I've done trainings. I've done like 3-hour trainings just on pricing psychology. And it's,
I've taken them.
and it's so powerful because this book is called Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely. And I think it came out about 10 years ago or something like that. And you know, you're trying to have a logical answer to pricing. And the entire book, just study after study after study, that pricing and what buyer psychology is anything but logical. So your consumer mind is trying to put logic and understanding to how to choose a price. And you'll probably fail with that. So part of that too is, what do I charge per session? Is you're selling the process again. Great marketers aren't selling the process. They're selling what it gives you, the transformation, the outcome. You know, look, if Melissa and I both said, I can guarantee you, I will get you to $20,000 a month in digital product sales. We both have an offer. Okay. I guarantee you, or your money back. And she says, I say I can do it. And we're going to do 8 sessions together. And she says, I'll make the same guarantee and I'll do it in 4. And they're the same price. Which one do you choose? If you're smart and savvy, you're going to choose Melissa. Why spend twice as much time, effort, and energy to do something you could do in half the time? And so what we have to do first is we have to break that linkage we've created that more time with you means more value. No, the value is attributed to the outcome. If I can get you a result faster, that should be more valuable. If I said, hey, let's just make it real exaggerated. Work with me for 10 years and I'll get you to 20,000 a month. And she's like, I'll do it in 90 days. You know, it's like, oh yeah, totally. Melissa's more valuable. So we have to break free of that. More time with you means more value. No, it's the opposite. The quicker we can get to the outcome, the better. The faster, what's the shortest distance between two points is always a straight line. And so you're providing the straight line to the outcome. And so I have a process that I can take our listeners through really quickly. And it's very uncomfortable, but really fun. And I'm going to give like an abridged version of it. But basically what I would have you guys do, and I'm going to go through this really fast. You'll have to like pause the episode if that's okay. You know, like pause and then like write some stuff down. So basically Stephen Covey in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, habit number 2 was begin with the end in mind. And one of the things that I think has always been successful for me and I apply to my coaching is I operate from my thinking, from my, my decision-making from the end. And I work backwards. So a lot of people are just staying busy, 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 doing, 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 doing. They don't even know where they're going. And they're doing it from where they are versus where they want to be. And living our life with intent and directing that intent is a really powerful way to live. So beginning with the end in mind, I say, well, what's the revenue number we want? If you're trying to decide your price, but you don't even know what your goals are, that's so stupid. Because you could say, you know, well, I'm going to create like a cool app and like sell it for like $5 a month. That's cool. But you know, how many people would you need in order to get to your goals? It's like, see, the math doesn't really add up. And so we need the math to add up. So we always start with the outcome and work backwards. So let's say you said you wanted, I'm just going to make up a number, right? Like, I work in 90-day cycles. So let's say you wanted to have a $100,000 quarter. You want to do $100,000 in revenue in one quarter. So what I have people do is you write that outcome to go. That's step number one, write that outcome goal down. And then you want to come up with a minimum of 5 math equations that add up to 100,000. It could be one offer of 100K. I do have a 100K client, so it's totally possible. You know, 2 offers at 50K, right? To make an example, or, you know, 10 at 10K. So that would be 20 at 5K. Now I'm going to have to get the math if I want to do more, right? So you come up with a few of those. Okay. And you write them down. So they all add up to 100K. This is step number 2, do the math. And what you want to do, and this is, I use a lot of intuition in my business and in my coaching. And I to run the numbers, I say, I want you to just imagine that all of these would work. This is step 3. All of these options would work. The one for 100K or the whatever it is, like 40 at 2K or whatever it would be. And without getting in your head and overthinking it, just choose the one that pops out to you the most, knowing that they would all work, assuming that they all work, which one jumps out at you? People jump out. And so let's say we have 100K divided by 2,000. So you have 50 people needing to join a $2,000 program that you sell. Okay. So in a way we just created the price, but stay with me because there's one final step. Okay. So, but this makes sense so far, right? I didn't do this too fast because normally I do this with like pen and paper on a board and you can like see it very visually. So I'm doing this over podcast. So you've come up with a test offer. You're trying on, like you're at the mall, right? And you're shopping and you're like, let me try on this outfit. And you're looking at it, seeing how it feels and how it looks. So we're doing the same thing here. We're just trying something on. You can take it off at any time. So $2,000, right? So what you do is you write down the price, 2,000, and you add a 0. That makes it 20,000. What? Why are you making me add a 0, James? That's step 4. Add a 0. Now, here's the juice. This is the magic part. This is my favorite part. Now what you do from that price, you write down what would they need to receive? What outcome would they need to have? What would I need to deliver? What would I need to give them to make it worth $20,000? And you create your offer from there. You create a $20,000 product, program, course, whatever. And when you know, you're like, oh yeah, I'd have like lifeline calls where like every week they could hop on a quick call, or they have coaching hours, or they have an assistant coach that I can provide. And all these ideas will start flowing. It's the quality of your life is determined by the quality of questions you ask. It's a great question. What do I need to provide in a $20,000 program that would make that worth $20,000 to them? Write it all down. And then when you got it, you take the zero back off. And what you will have is a price that you're stoked with. I like to use that word, stoked. That's worth so much more than what you're charging. So instead of this, what should I charge? What will they pay for? Which is consumer mindset. You're working from cause. You're causing the price, the rate that you want to charge, and you're going to get it because you created something that's worth a minimum of 10 times more. And I'm going to demonstrate this in a quick analogy metaphor to show you how well it works. I want you to imagine that we're here live and everyone's here live with me. And I say to all the listeners, I've got $20 in my hand. Who wants it? Bunch of hands would go up, right? And they say, okay, hold on, hold on. I will give you $20 if you give me $20. Who still wants it? Probably hands would go down, but people were like, I mean, I guess. But then I say, hold on, hold on. You have to mail me the $20 and then I'll mail you the $20. Who wants it? Most people be like, I don't really know. I mean, maybe there's some weird person that's like, oh, I want $20 that James held in his hand. That I don't, I mean, maybe you need a coach. I don't know why you would want that. But most hands go down at that point. And then I say, when you mail me the $20, I will give you $20 and I'm going to give you 2 backstage passes to your favorite band and their next concert. First person to give me $20 gets it. Now there's a rush, right? And that's exactly what's happening when it comes to pricing. People are trying to convince people of, I'll give you $20 for $20. No one wants it. I'm trying to convince you that it's worth the price. Instead, when you sit there and say, I'm going to give you 10 times what you're paying me, now you have people rushing. So how you determine prices is that process I just walked you through. You don't determine prices by saying, what are they willing to pay? What should I charge? But you say, how much money do I want to make? And how can I deliver something that's 10 times more valuable than what I'm asking for? And when you do it that way, it's so much more powerful. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And it's, again, just a different way of approaching things, but acknowledging that different doesn't mean, like, it's okay. It's okay to do things differently because, again, we're talking, you know, we're taking the therapy hat off. We're taking the coaching hat off. You know, as we're working on our pricing structure, we're showing up as the digital CEO, we're showing up as the business owner. And we have to be doing that. We have to be flexing that muscle where we're actively taking off that therapist hat, that coaching hat.
Well, and you don't have to, right? But then the question just becomes like, so who's going to bring in the clients? Who's going to make the sales? Who's building the outreach, the audience? How are you getting found? Who's responsible for these things? And, you know, this is the thing I teach, and this is why I say the role you fill determines the results you receive. The moment you say, I want a business, even if you didn't say it, you just said, like, I want to have my own practice. It's a business. A entity got created that we will say is an org chart. So there's several roles. No, James, it's actually just me. Oh, I know it's just you in multiple different roles. So the moment you say I have a business, there's the CEO. There's the fulfillment of the therapist. That's a role, is to be a therapist. But then what about the secretary or the assistant? What about the person that does the invoicing? What about customer support? What about the marketing team? What about the person managing the social media, right? What about all these different things that exist, these roles that exist within the business? And where you put your time, every role has a function, right? So where you place your time and energy is what function gets created or gets fulfilled on. So if you're avoiding, if you or no one else is filling those roles or functions, then those functions don't get fulfilled upon. And if you just stay in your one function of being coach or therapist or the delivery of your content, then you miss all these other functions that are required of the business. The business has needs. Just like in a relationship, people have needs. You have needs, your partner has needs. Well, you're in a relationship in a way. It's a different type of relationship, of course, but you're in a relationship with your business. You want the business to give you things like fulfillment, money, profit. And it has needs from you too. Well, I'm going to need you to do this. I'm going to need someone to do this. And we just have this one-sided relationship where it's like, oh my gosh, am I the narcissist in my business relationship that just keeps going, gimme, 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 gimme? You don't give anything that the business needs, but you got to give the business what it needs in order for you to get what you want. And that's just facts. That's just laws. If you ain't doing it, then someone else is got to. And the worst advice I could ever give is to just throw money at a problem and hire some overpriced, under qualified marketing agency to build your business for you. Please don't do that. I've seen that go poorly so many times. It's not pleasant. So you need to learn how to do these things. And it's a joy. It's exciting because it's you. It's a personal brand. So you can't have someone like do it for you. You can't say, okay, well, we're going to get a 3D hologram of you and we're just going to go on Instagram for you or whatever. It gets to be you. And that's the opportunity.
I think this is, you've delivered a lot of very valuable content today. And I hope listeners, I hope you've been taking some notes. And if not, give this a, you know, re-listen and take some notes on this. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to wrap this up. I'm sure your team is like, James, come back to us. We've covered a lot of things though, and, you know, covered a lot of different things. And I'm hopeful that, you know, in terms of the audience, you know, everyone listening, I'm hoping that you see so many different opportunities to put yourself out there. And you just had such a great way of explaining that in terms of it's a market. Yes, it is a saturated market in many ways, but looking at, you know, the sophistication of our marketing and all the different opportunities there are out there. And we need to show up. You know, for those of us, we have so many gifts and skills and training and education, and it is our time to shine, but we need to, pardon my language, take our heads out of our ass and find a way to show up.
So take our heads out of our ass.
So yeah, you've given us a lot of tools to do that and to get out of our own way. You know, that's a big piece, is really getting out of our own way. And I've learned so much from you around.
Here's how to get out of your own way. I can help people get out of their own way. Stop taking yourself so seriously. It's your self-importance that's getting you in your own way.
Yeah.
And self-importance makes us heavy and slow. So if you have a gift and you know it helps people, you're getting in your own way because you're making it about you. Mm. When people come to me, I was just at an event speaking and someone asked about how do you overcome like all the self-sabotage? And I said, well, what are the thoughts that you say to yourself that has you know that you are in that imposter syndrome or self-sabotage? And they started to, and I had all these people ask in the room. They're saying things like, who am I to be doing this? I'm not good enough. What if I can't deliver? And what do I have that they don't have or whatever, you know, stuff like that. And I said, what is the one common word in every single thought or thing that people shared? And no one could get it. So there's a common word.
Hi.
You've made it all about you. And that's a problem. This ain't about me. I'm not on here because I want to be famous and popular. I really don't. I'm like totally like actually the opposite. I'm more a hermit and need a lot of alone time. But I also know that it's something within me that it fuels me when I can help and be of service. And I know that I can help. So it's not about me. It's about them. It's always, how can I help today? And it's a beautiful, simplistic, probably you've heard of before metaphor, but you act like a clear vessel. You're a vessel to allow something to come through you to be of assistance to another human being. And if you put all, because you are where your attention is. So if you put all of your attention on who you can help and just that, I could make a difference for someone. Not even get rid of the I, like there's someone out there that needs help. And that's where your attention is. The I and the ego dissolves a bit. It vanishes a bit. And this is why, I mean, this is like a real phenomenon. Have you ever seen, known someone in your life that started a charity or a nonprofit? And they usually blow those up about 10 times faster than you could ever start a business. Why is that? Because it ain't about them. So they are not in their way. And what if you could treat your business the same way? This isn't about me. This is about trying to be the best. This isn't trying to get about the attention or the whatever. It's just like, let me help. Let me help. Let me help. Who can I help? How can I help? Let me help. Don't want my help? Not a problem. Let me help. No, I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I don't give a fuck at all. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to help everybody. I'm just putting it out there. If you want it, great. If you don't want it, that's great too. Get it from someone. Get it somewhere. Do it. But that's my style. This is my way. It's for some people, it's like, it feels like he's yelling at us. It feels like he's angry. It's like, that's my style. I'm very intense in that nature. Like I'm fighting for people when they don't fight for themselves. And I can be a little like intense and upfront, but that's my style. So am I going to change who I am because someone doesn't like it? No. Are you going to change who you are because you're afraid someone might not? No, you're going to be you. And you're going to put the best version of you out there. And someone, maybe you're getting your hair cut one day and they're sitting there and they say, oh my gosh, I watched your videos. I listened to your podcast. I took your, and you changed my life. And that's the opportunity that we have every single day. Every single time we show up, we open our mouths, we go live, we record that podcast or we put out that program is an opportunity to make a profound difference in people's lives. And Lord knows we need it now more than ever. Oh my gosh. Saturated as you want to call it. There are more people struggling on the planet today with even just like the young kiddos are getting the worst right now. I mean, because they're a more illuminated, elevated than us. I mean, they are so gifted. I mean, you just look into their eyes and these kids like are just on a whole nother level. And they don't know how to integrate a lot of what's going on, their own emotions and what they're experiencing on the planet and everything. And then of course we have people going through big, you know, questioning their entire existence and their careers and their relationships. Are you kidding? We're going to worry about how many other people are doing this. You think all the world's problems have been solved? Do you think everyone's like, I'm good. There's enough coaches out there. I don't have any problems anymore. I can just live my life hunky-dory. Walt Disney was right. I can live my happily ever after now. Are you kidding me? There are so many people hurting so badly out there. And we're worried that there's already a lot of people trying to help. That's crazy. That's crazy. We have more and more and more and more and more people coming into our community. And we're talking about business, but we're not, you know what I mean? We're talking about so much more. And I see that every single day. Anyways, that's my rant. Sorry.
No, these rants are needed though. These rants are needed because we need more people who are passionate about what they're doing to shine that light brightly and be the lighthouse, you know, showing up and doing things we're passionate about. Because we did not talk about failure today, but that's part of it, is detaching from the story we're telling ourselves about failure, because a lot of therapists are afraid of failing publicly.
Oh, you will
afraid
fail.
Of, oh, yeah. You're, you know, people, I have an episode coming up. You guys are going to hear me talk about failing my way to seven figures. Look only out. I'm going to fail a million times and I hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, you better. I mean, that's, I told people on a call yesterday, I said, you know, one of my secrets is I just don't, I'm not worried to make a mistake anymore. I'm not afraid to make a mistake because I'm not afraid of looking bad. And we fail our way to success because we only really learn through experience. And unfortunately, success is a crappy teacher. So the experiences of not having success are the ones where you learn, or you have to repeat it because you chose not to learn it because you labeled it as a failure. You got into your self-importance again. Why me? Poor me. This always happens to me. Instead of saying, wait a second. This is here trying to teach me something. Am I going to pay? This has happened before. This is like a theme. What am I missing? What is this here to teach me that I haven't learned yet so that I can get what I want? Because you can't get to the end result without doing the work. And the work is learning the lessons. And sadly, we learn the lessons through the failures and the problems. That's why pain is a blessing, because pain forces us to pay attention to what we haven't seen. Because when things are going easy and all hunky-dory and dandy and rainbows and unicorns, we tend to not pay attention. You know, that's when we get complacent. That's when we get comfortable. And it's through the resistance and the pain and the uncomfortableness that life's circumstances, situations, and problems bring us is that we grow. It's tough, but then you realize, like, I'm tougher, and we grow. And that's business. Hate to break it to you. And so it's just like, it's just kind of like, you just got to surrender and say, like, hurry up and fail so we can get on with growing.
Well, and acknowledge that the pain is amplified by the stories we're telling ourselves about failure. There's, you know, failure in and of itself.
It's so bad. It's shame. Yeah.
That's the failure is the, you know, that's just the small part. It's the stories and the beating ourselves up. That's where we can really do a deeper dive. Right. My gosh.
If you really think about that, like that's like more of that self-importance, like stop taking yourself so seriously. Like, you know what I mean? Like the ego is the one that's really bruised here. You know, the ego is what's really hurt here. And
oh, that darn ego.
But everywhere I've gone in my life has not been without those failures. And so even today, and it's just like, you just laugh it off quicker and get back on the horse.
Well, and this is a good, you know, we will officially wrap this up, but earlier on one of my calls today, I was talking about, you know, I just made reference. I have done more work on myself, and this has been, my goodness, talk about personal growth and transformation, but the journey of entrepreneurship has delivered that 20-fold compared to anything I could have had if I would have been in, you know, consistent weekly therapy sessions the last 10 years as compared to what I have been able to do. And the amount of resilience I have built in my life, but also the clarity and the thought work and the ability that I now have to manage my brain. These are all gifts that entrepreneurship has given me, that my coaching, that working through you, your programs, so much of this has been delivered through my entrepreneurial journey versus the professional growth. And you know, as a therapist working, you know, I'm a firm believer, we all can do our own work on ourselves and work with therapists. Oh my goodness, the entrepreneurial journey has been something else. Talk about walking through the flames.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wouldn't trade it for the world.
My spiritual mentor said something to me once that has always stood out as so beautiful. He said, "What a pity. What a pity that most people will only face one battle their entire lifetime." And that is a pity. And when we choose, we're all on a path. And when you choose a path of entrepreneurship, it's exactly what you're saying. You're on an accelerated growth path. And that's what I believe life is about. I believe life is about our own growth, our own expansion, our own evolution. And choosing a path of something like business and entrepreneurship is it's the carpool lane of growth. I mean, it is an accelerated path where you will face battles. You will have to get over yourself and that, you know, self-sabotage and imposter syndrome. You'll have to get over a lot of things. You'll have to learn how to have, in the way people call it, thick skin, I guess, or resiliency. But really is like learning not to take things personally. You know, you'll have to learn to be more, even more authentic and more unapologetic and more in your power in so many ways. And it's such it really is just exactly what you said is my journey is I've learned more from my journey of entrepreneurship about myself, about what I'm capable of, how to navigate emotions and my thoughts and fears and all of that and anything else that could have ever taught me. And that's so exciting. We should be jazzed up by that. Like, we've made the unimportant important and the important unimportant, and we've made the wrong targets in our life. You know, I know it's this cheesy and cliche to say it's the journey, not the destination, but it's true that the destination may be more money, more sales, more impact. But the journey that you then go on the moment you say, I want to go after those things is the real destination. Because every day on that journey, it's a path of your own growth, discovering more of who you are and shedding more of who you aren't. And to wrap that all up, I know I keep going. I'm so sorry. I could have let you end this so long ago. Is that what I've discovered is the more that you're in that work and that process and the shedding of who you aren't and the amplification of who you are, you naturally become a better coach or therapist, and you naturally attract more people into your world, more people that want to work with you because there's something about you. And that's pretty awesome. So, okay, that's the last thing I'm going to say. Sorry.
It's all good. All good. Thank you for this, James. This has been fabulous. I always enjoy my time with you. And for those of you who are interested in knowing more about James, about his work, we're going to link that all up in the show notes. You are a wealth of knowledge. You are a great role model in terms of over-delivering on free content. Your paid programs, you over-deliver on that as well. But if anyone's wanting to know more, we'll tie that all up in the show notes. So yes, thank you. I'm very grateful for you.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks everyone for listening.
Okay, take care, James.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode in all its entirety. I know it was a long one. You can find a full transcript and links to any of the resources we've mentioned on today's show at otsgonerogue.com or through the link in our show notes. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you have an interest in taking the next step on your journey as a coach, I would love for you to come and check out a new program I've been creating this year, the Clinician to Coach Roadmap. I've been studying and practicing as a coach for almost 10 years now, first as a parent coach, then a birth coach. I continued with my training as a women's health coach. Then I trained as a business coach with a special interest in leadership and high performance. I've learned so much in the last decade, professionally, personally, and as a business owner. And I've compiled all this knowledge, education, and hands-on experience into a 12-module program that focuses on the fundamentals of coaching so you can take your coaching skills to the next level while creating an unforgettable client experience. You can find all the details at www.melissalapointe.com/clinician to coach. And you can find me, Melissa Lapointe, on LinkedIn or through our OTs Gone Rogue Instagram account. I would love to hear what you thought of today's conversation. Until next time.